Good morning. Welcome to worship this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. I direct your attention to the announcements at the end of the bulletin. At this time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace. and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning I want for all of us as God's children to ponder this idea of welcome, of being welcome and of welcoming others. The first welcome many of us knew coming into the world was something we don't remember, being welcomed into the arms of loving parents or doctors, those who first held us and received us. For those of us who have been baptized, it is in baptism that we find our greatest welcome. God welcomes us into God's family, into God's heart, into God's home. And in turn, we are sent to receive welcome from others in the world and to give welcome to others in the world, to welcome and introduce others to Jesus whom we love. Let us pray. Oh God, you have given us the greatest welcome in baptism. You've made us yours. You've called us and claimed us forever. We thank you for this gift and we ask you to help us to receive and give welcome to those whom you love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The year was 2009. I had been assigned to serve two congregations in the mountains of Western North Carolina to serve on a year of internship. The first hot August day, I pulled up the small gravel drive to visit the smaller of the two churches, which we affectionately came to refer to as the Sanctified Double Wide. It was a small congregation that met literally in two double wide trailers. As we pulled up the gravel drive, I noticed the small marquee sign outside. The sign read, "Come as you are, you will be welcome. Come as you are, you will be welcome." And I wondered to myself, is that a threat or is that a promise? Indeed, I was welcomed in that congregation. Granted, I was there to help lead, but that year, that little congregation and I did a lot of work on what it means to welcome and to be welcome. One Sunday morning, shortly after I arrived, several members and I were waiting for the service to start when we heard a car pull up the gravel drive. Several of them looked out the window, and one remarked, "I don't recognize that car or that person. It might be a visitor. What do we do?" "Go speak to them," I said. "Welcome them." That was a tough thing in that community, in that context, for those people. It was a growing moment for them. We had a lot of work to do on the topic of welcome. One of the comments I hear most frequently here from visitors and members, new and old alike, is that Good Shepherd is a welcoming congregation. That is indeed a wonderful thing, and I don't take it for granted. My family and I can certainly attest to that. Again, I'm here to help lead, but in general, this is a welcoming group, a welcoming place. We don't look out windows before the service wondering who a newcomer might be. We welcome others in. Many of us make a point to speak to visitors and introduce ourselves. We have many gifts for hospitality. Yet Jesus' words to us today are perhaps an even greater challenge. Notice who is doing the welcoming here. It is not the disciples. It's not the apostles who are commanded to welcome. In fact, nobody is commanded to welcome anyone in this passage. The disciples, the apostles, those whom Jesus sent out, are commanded to go and to be welcomed by others. Indeed, Jesus says to them, "Whoever welcomes you, one of my disciples, one of my apostles, welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." The ones who are welcomed and blessed by others here are not, the ones who welcome, rather, are not the disciples. The ones who are blessed here are not the disciples. The ones who are blessed instead are the ones who receive them and their message, the ones who welcome their Lord and Master who sent them. This, it seems to me, poses a much greater challenge to us than a command to welcome others. Certainly elsewhere in Scripture, we hear that command as well. In Romans 15:7, Paul exhorts his hearers to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you. And in Hebrews 13:2, we are exhorted to welcome strangers. But believe it or not, the vast majority of references to welcoming in Scripture, particularly in the Gospels, are not about our welcoming others, but about others welcoming us, and by extension, welcoming in Christ and the Father who sent him. There are at least a couple of shifts that have occurred over the centuries that have led us to reverse this welcome message. One is that the church has become more affluent and powerful. After the conversion of Emperor Constantine, the church went from being a persecuted and itinerant community to being a community favored by the empire and powerful in a new way. Soon, Christianity became the law of the land, so to speak, in much of Europe. And it's harder to convert your neighbors when everyone around you is at least nominally Christian. So the persecuted church finding a welcome among hostile neighbors was no longer the primary concern. Instead, the now stronger church began to concern itself with reaching out to neighbors who might be in positions of weakness. It's not a bad thing. It's just a shift that occurred. Another related shift is that the church has become, over the centuries, much more institutionalized. We created church structures and hierarchies to help facilitate our ministries. We began to build grand buildings to house our worship and our communities. These are not, again, bad things in and of themselves, but when the church began to see itself as less a movement of the Spirit into the world, and more as a building to be attended and funded, the church's focus moved from being welcomed to being welcoming. And far too many congregations over the years have the idea that was expressed on that little church marquee I first saw 11 years ago, "Come as you are, you will be welcome." Or another idea I've often heard, "If we could just get more visitors to come, they'd see how great our church really is." That may be well and true. But Jesus called apostles. Remember the root of that word in Greek, those who are sent out. We still profess to be an apostolic church. We are those sent out to share Jesus' love and presence with others. Nowhere does he command us to sit in a grand structure and wait for others to come in so that we can then share Jesus with them. We are sent out. That's a great challenge to us today, particularly to us longtime Lutherans who sometimes seem to have an allergy to the word evangelism. We're not always comfortable expressing our faith to others. We don't go door to door with our faith, not that that's necessarily the best way for us to evangelize. Yet we do belong to a denomination that has the word evangelical in the name. Indeed, we are a church that has good news to share with our neighbors. We have a message of hope and help, a message of love and reconciliation, a message of peace and the presence of God. And Jesus' words to his first disciples still apply to us today. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. We don't have to come here to be filled with God. The Holy Spirit lives in us, in you and in me, given to us in holy baptism. And wherever we go, we carry the presence of Christ that we know here with us. Wherever we go, we carry Christ with us. And whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus and the Father who sent him. Could evangelism really be as simple as receiving the welcome of those outside the church? It certainly isn't a bad place for us to start. Well, there's another seismic cultural shift going on these days. This time of pandemic has forced us to temporarily close our beautiful buildings. One unexpected effect of this is that we are now the church deployed into the world in a new and different way. Rather than gathering as often in the same way we're used to, we are now sent out. That may not be as comfortable for us. I suspect it isn't. It may not feel like church as we're used to, but we are the church in and for the world. And being sent to receive welcome rather than gathered to give a welcome makes a difference. And it brings us closer to Jesus' command to his first apostles. It brings us more in line with those great signs and wonders the early church experienced in the book of Acts. Those signs of God's presence and glory happened usually not in a building, but often out among neighbors. Likewise, we have an opportunity right now to create spaces in our lives to be received by others, to be welcomed and to allow others to welcome Christ as they welcome us. I realize these welcoming moments may take place in masks these days. It may at this time be unsafe to do some of these welcomes in person, but we have phones. Many of us have computers. We have cards to write. We can put ourselves out there to create a space in which we can be welcomed by others. And in that way, we get to know others and they get to know us. And we may be surprised not only when God shows up through you and me, but when God shows up through them as well. Though God does not cause things like this pandemic to happen, God can and does work good through the bad. At this time, I believe God is helping us see this blind spot many of us have had in our life of discipleship. We may give hospitality, but how are we at receiving it? We may welcome others in, but do we have the humility and the patience to go and be welcomed by others? We're really good at giving cups of cold water to the thirsty, but are we open to receiving the same from others? This new shift in our thinking, from thinking we're the ones who have what others need, thinking we always have to be the ones providing, to instead thinking that we're also dependent upon others. We are also to welcome their hospitality. That's going to help reshape our hearts and our minds. May we become more quick to listen than we are to speak. May we learn as much as we try to teach. May we begin to realize that God is at least as much out there in the world as God is in our hearts, our minds, and our buildings. We are a church called and sent out for the world. Go this week and be welcomed. That's where God is at work. Go this week and be received. That's your calling this week. Go this week not as one with all the answers, but as one open to the words and the troubles of others. In the words of James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We are a church sent to be welcomed, so that all may come to know Jesus and the one who sent him. I pray we are up to the challenge Jesus lays at our doors this week. Amen.
Sign of Christ our King. Spirit, we are God's children, joyful in all God's praise we sing.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. God of companionship, encourage our relationships with our siblings in Christ. Bless our conversations. Shape our shared future and give us hearts eager to join in a festal shout of praise. Hear us, O God. God of abundance, you make your creation thrive and grow to provide all that we need. Inspire us to care for our environment and be attuned to where the earth is crying out. Hear us, O God. God of mercy, your grace is poured out for all. Inspire authorities, judges, and politicians to act with compassion. Teach us to overcome fear with hope, meet hate with love, and welcome one another as we would welcome you. Hear us, O God. God of care, accompany all who are in deepest need. Comfort those who are sick, lonely, or abandoned, especially those we name before you now. Strengthen those who are in prison or awaiting trial. Renew the spirits of all who call upon you. Hear us, O God. God of community, we give thanks for this congregation. Give us passion to embrace your mission and the vision to recognize where you are leading us. Teach us how to live more faithfully with each other. Hear us, O God. God of love, you gather in your embrace all who have died. Keep us steadfast in our faith and renew our trust in your promise. Hear us, O God. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The peace of Christ be with you always. This time I invite you to share peace with one another with a wave or to text peace and or to text peace to someone who can't be with us this morning. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. God of the welcome table in this meal, we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Oh,
in peace. Christ is with you.